Hey y'all, how much Christmas shopping do you have left?
All of it.
All of it?
No, none. Yeah. In fact,
you're done?
Well, that's not entirely true, but a couple things that won't take long. But there's someone delivering something to my mother right now, and the truck can't get down her driveway for various reasons. So she's traveling to drive to the end of the driveway to put it in the back of her car. So we don't know if that's going to fit either. So she may call back in the middle of this and I have to step away.
How long is your driveway?
It's not long. It's just this company. I don't know what kind of truck they're in. It's not any truck can fit down this driveway. So I don't know what the guy was saying, but he was nice enough to call. So I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's a Christmas miracle, everybody. We'll see what happens.
Man, what'd you order?
She has a back issue. So it's like a electronic, you know, you plug it in. It's a zero gravity chair. So your Ooh. Feet go way up high and take stress.
And you hang up, she has a really bad upside
back.
Down?
She has a really bad back. And so it's more of a health thing than anything else.
Is it one of those things where you have hooks on your boots and you hang upside down?
No. It's called the Batman.
I've seen those.
No.
Yeah, I have seen those too. Well, geez, good luck to your mother. I hope she, nice job. Is this a package that you sent her?
Yes.
Oh, well done, Hogan. So it's all your fault. Yeah. And Sonny, you got to get out there and get shopping. You know, there's only, you know, less than 2 weeks left.
I got to.
You have a child now. That child expects.
You know the saying, Sonny, if your child does not remember their first Christmas, they're scarred for life. All studies show that. So if That's you don't right. make it well, big, then too bad. You're a bad mom, I'll tell you.
Look, I'm trying my hardest here. I have ordered him one thing from Amazon. So I guess that's not true. I have done some Christmas shopping, but I mean, what do you get a 4-month-old, 5-month-old?
Everything. They don't have anything. You can get them anything. Literally anything in the world would be something that they don't have. Anything.
Is it possible, Tim, since you have kids, to trick your kids into thinking Christmas is on like the 27th and then go out and do the shopping on the 26th where the sales are, and then you're just saving cash?
You know, it might have been possible. Great idea. But you have to go with that plan from the very beginning.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I disagree. They don't know what the calendar is. Christmas is when you tell them it is.
Well, they know when Jesus' birthday is now.
Yeah, okay, but good.
Yeah, but you don't tell them it's the day of. You're like, yeah, it's in 2 days, guys.
Well, that's true. They may not know what day it is. The problem is all their little idiot friends at school are going to give up the game.
But they're not at school.
Well, they are. Most days.
Can I ask something and I'm going to say something very controversial too, since we're talking about Christmas. Tim, do your kids do Santa Claus?
Oh, yeah. Sure. They're 5 and 7. They're all totally on board with Santa Claus. Yeah. They're discernible. You know, it's funny. We went out to the Salamander Resort out in Middleburg, Virginia, and they have a really great Santa thing. And you ride in a little hay wagon out to a little shack and you get like a 15-minute private audience with Santa. It's really great. Ooh. In this little shack in the woods out in Middleburg. It's really cool. And there's an elf there. Anyway, it's a cool thing. So that is quite clearly the real Santa Claus. And then when you go to the mall or someplace else, it's obviously an inferior Santa Claus. So that's just a helper. So they can tell the difference. They know that they've met with the real Santa and that the guy at the mall is just a helper. You know, not an imposter, just a helper.
I did not do Santa Claus growing up. And I'm not doing it with my children. Yep.
You really?
Think Spider-Man or something instead.
Yeah.
We just did Jesus. Spider-Man. You know.
Jesus brings presents.
No. The presents are
Jesus
definitely
brings life, Tim.
That's true. From my parents.
Problem solved.
But we did not do Santa because. My grandparents, my grandpa, when he found out that Santa was not real, he was so upset that his parents had lied to him that he said, I'm not doing this with my kids. So my mom didn't do it and she didn't do it with us. And now I'm not doing it with my child. I'm sure I'm ruining him for life.
Did you go to school and tell all your snot-nosed friends that thought you knew something they didn't?
Tim, you forget. You got to add on to the weirdness here. I was homeschooled.
So. Oh, homeschooled. You know, I don't know if I knew that. I don't know if I knew you were homeschooled.
Oh, yeah. I went to public high school, but I was homeschooled until high school.
Are we missing a stinger?
No, yeah, we haven't gotten to it yet. The Christmas conversation.
Long opening.
Yeah. It's fine. So, anyway, Sonny Joy Nelson, Christmas Killjoy, and Hogan Gidley. I'm Tim Murtaugh. This is the Line Drive Podcast. All right. Aside from Sonny ruining the hopes and dreams of children everywhere, let's move on to something.
You should put a disclaimer on this episode. Do not allow children to watch this.
I know. Dangerous. Sonny is not being nice.
Fresh and
hopes. So, kind of big news this week.
Hang on. I'm stepping away for this.
Mom's calling. All right.
Sure. We'll keep going. I'll be right back.
We will press on while Hogan solves the dilemma of the driveway. Sonny, so kind of big news in Washington this week. The House finally authorized an impeachment inquiry of President Joe Biden. And I want to – this fine headline, fine headline. Oh, Hogan's back. What happened, Hogan?
We're good. The chair is – Operation Christmas chair is fully a success.
Fantastic. Nice. You are a good son after all. So we're talking about the authorization of the impeachment by the House, Hogan, and the Reuters coverage of it. Here's the headline. Listen to this. Biden impeachment inquiry authorized by House Republicans despite lack of evidence. That's in their headline. In their headline. And then, of course, the whole story is about why are these crazy people doing this? Because the poor guy's done nothing wrong and there's no indication that he's ever done anything wrong. And why are they even bother doing this? This is amazing. Amazing. Remember at the beginning when Joe Biden said, I've never discussed my son's business with him. Not one time, not ever. I've never discussed it. Well, that has morphed into I was not financially involved with my son's business. So that the initial lie, the threshold lie of like he's completely clueless, doesn't that warrant? And we're not talking about a trial here. This is an inquiry. It is the search for information. We know that he lied about his relationship with his son and whether or not he ever discussed it. That's a lie. Lie number one. We also know that there are 21 different shell companies set up by people named Biden to accept the incoming cash. We know that it's about $20 million or more of that incoming cash going to various people named Biden, but not Joe Biden, because naturally they'd want to keep his fingers clean on all that stuff. And then there's eyewitnesses, people who used to be in business with Hunter Biden, who says, oh yeah, Joe Biden was at the table. We used to talk to him about these business things, these business arrangements all the time. And you have Jonathan Turley, who's a constitutional scholar, who says, you know, there's a ton of court cases, Supreme Court and otherwise, that say if there is a benefit being given to members of your family, that can be construed as a benefit to you yourself. And so for Reuters to say there's no evidence, that's astounding. It is a willful disregard of this mountain of admittedly circumstantial at this time. But it is everyone around Joe Biden is getting rich and he doesn't have a piece of it at all. Give me a break.
Also, all evidence is circumstantial. Yeah, this isn't an episode of SVU. If I walk away from the computer, you hear a gunshot, and I come back, and I have blood all over my shirt, and I'm holding a smoking gun, and someone's found dead in my apartment, you could probably assume I had something to do with it. You didn't see it. So all the evidence, the bloody shirt, the gun, me, the gunshot, that's all circumstantial. So the fact that these things line up to point to Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, that is the circumstance around which these impeachment proceedings are going forward, because it's quite obvious that Hunter Biden has nothing to offer. And if I hear one more time, well, Jared Kushner after the White House, he got this big deal with Saudi. Yeah, Ivanka Trump, boy, she's doing a lot of business deals after the White House. Both of these people were doing business before they went in the White House, were known internationally as millionaire business moguls. Hunter was a crackhead, and he was doing all of this while Joe Biden was the vice president of the United States, and there and around and in between those times. So spare me the correlation between those two. There's nothing there that shows a similarity. And you're right. Turley pointed that out because it's precedent. If, in fact, the family receives money, it counts as Joe Biden benefiting from that relationship. And sure. This whole notion, as we said, I think on the last pod, that Hunter Biden didn't pay taxes. He didn't pay taxes on what? Millions of dollars? Oh, okay. Where did he get the money? We're still not talking about where he got that money from. Yeah. Was it from one of the companies, one of the countries? What did he do to get the money? The lack of curiosity by the mainstream media is something we've talked about on this pod many times. It is so infuriating because I don't want to say this because it's so trite, but it is true. If that were Don Jr. Or Eric Trump, come on. Everybody on the left would be saying this correlation is so obvious. But you hit it out of the park, Tim, on the Line Drive pod to carry forward the basic analogies. And that is, it is so obvious with all of this mounting evidence that there's an issue here. Just because you don't have a signed check to Hunter Biden in the foreline to pay off Joe Biden for policy and other things signed by Burisma doesn't mean he didn't benefit. It's obvious he did. And I hope that the Republicans in Congress, if they move forward with impeachment, ultimately, they have to bring the American people along with them, or it's going to be very tough and it could backfire.
Yeah, that's key. Right. You need the people. Sonny, what do you think?
Sorry, my internet is dropping off really bad. I just want to say that, you know, when I was a little girl, my mom told me, when you tell a lie, you have to tell another lie to cover up that one. And then it just keeps going and going and going until you yourself don't even know what the truth is because you've covered up with so many lies. And I think, honestly, Joe Biden now, that's where he is. He has told so many lies from what you were just talking about, Tim. Oh, I've never spoken to my son, never one time about what he does for work, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, now, well, actually, I'm just not financially involved. When both of those things are a lie, even though it has just snowballed into something, you know, so big. But Hogan, you're exactly right. The Republicans have to stand strong on this. They cannot let it go. And they need to really bring a big force in the media to talk about this. They need to do a big push on social media about this to get into the minds of younger voters. Because to younger voters, they probably say they don't care about this, whatever. All politicians are corrupt, I'm sure. But they need to really capitalize on this heading into the election. This needs to be fresh in voters' minds.
Yeah, it does. And in order to do that, they have to lay out the case and they have to get the American people on their side. And it's obvious based on, I mean, you know, there's ample evidence, but this Reuters story is, to me, is like the capper on it. But to put in the headline, lack of evidence. I mean, what are these people waiting? First of all, we already went through the whole list of stuff. The lies about saying that he was never had a conversation, never discussed the business with his son. That is demonstrably false. We know that he had dinner with them at Cafe Milano, for God's sake. What are you doing talking to your son's business partners? It's an astoundingly, ridiculously unbelievable lie. The 21 shell companies, the $20 million, the fact that key witnesses says, oh yeah, Joe Biden knew all about it. The fact that they shared Joe and Hunter Biden had access to the same bank accounts, shared bank accounts, and shared credit cards even. We know that from the laptop, which they also told us was bogus, right? That's unbelievable. So now their position is, first of all, none of that constitutes evidence, according to Reuters. None of it constitutes evidence. And they look at all that pile of circumstantial stuff and say, you know what? We don't even need to investigate this. All this is an investigation. They don't even want to do that.
I know.
All this stuff staring them in the face. And they say, there's nothing there.
It's the lack of curiosity. But they still going back to what something else we've discussed, which is the media is now saying, guys, all this shows, all these payments show, all this loan shows, it's all because Joe Biden cares so much about his family. He's a very good father. You can't simultaneously say he's involved in his son's life, cares about his son, and then also try to get me to believe he knew nothing about any of his business deals whatsoever. So involved and so caring. Oh, but he had no idea about his business dealings at all. None. That's ridiculous. I guarantee he knew about the hookers. He knew about the drugs. He knew about the gun. He knew about all these things. So wouldn't you want a father to help you get your life back together? Well, how would you do that? being gainfully employed, working to get your life back together. So he wouldn't know about any of those business opportunities at all. He just only knew about the drugs and the guns. He just said, I'll fix that just through rehab and other things. I'm not going to worry about helping him find gainful employment, using my name to get wealthy, to get me money in return. I mean, it's so unbelievable that it's laughable. The media won't talk about it. It's right. You and I both, Tim, back in the campaign in 2020, were so mad about this laptop. It's carried over into this. It's I'm angry about it. It's just so this stupid.
It goes way beyond the lack of curiosity.
It's an easy layup for the media.
This is willful disregard of stuff that's staring them in the face. And also, they don't ask themselves basic questions like these different things that Comer and the House Oversight Committee have been releasing, different payments. Like there was a payment of $200,000, right, from Joe Biden's brother to Joe Biden. And they say, oh, that was a repayment of a loan. And then there was a series of payments for the same amount of money, a much lesser amount of money, from Hunter to Joe. And they say, oh, that was, you know, repayment of a loan. We've already established it is known that at least $20 million flowed through 21 different shell companies into the bank accounts of various people named Biden. And so they're splitting up this pie of $20 million, all of these Biden relatives. And these are the people who have to borrow money from Joe and then pay him back. They're the ones getting the $20 million. Why do they have to borrow money? It just doesn't add up. How come Joe, the one who's innocent of all this, and I have never seen a penny of this, and I don't know what you're talking about, why is he the one loaning money to all the folks who are raking in the millions of dollars from all the overseas? Does that make any sense to Sonny, anyone?
Let me ask you this. So I'm going to ask you a question here. I was thinking about that because you just, the incuriosity here. So the Shooter's Manifesto in Nashville, stick with me. I promise I'm on the same subject.
All right.
That was a story that was broken by Steven Crowder, an internet guy. Okay. At first I thought, wow, good for him. And then I started thinking to myself, wait a minute. Why is he the one breaking this story and not NBC or CBS or CNN or whatever? Right. So herein lies some of the problem. The no evidence mantra that the left is using has taken such a foothold. And again, I don't think the media believes it. I just think they don't want to cover it because then it forces them to do more work. It forces them to actually expose a person in Joe Biden whose policies they support, the radical ideology they love and promote. So do you think what has to happen here, right, for these big news organizations to just ask some simple questions and get the answers? Why does it have to be whistleblowers? Why does it have to be Crowder and Daily Wire and others who pull this information? Not that they're not popular and good outlets, but why can't you get one of the mainstream folks to cover it? What has to happen for them to cover it, do you think?
It has to be so obvious that they can't. Go ahead.
Easy,
well,
Tim.
But I feel like we're past that though, because I mean, not to sound so like cynical here, but I don't think they're going to. We have seen the most outrageously glaring, obvious things happen, like the Hunter Biden laptop story, with the Trans Manifesto that you were just talking about. And have there been retractions? Hardly none. Have there been any mainstream outlets, even local news? You'd think with this happening in Nashville, I mean, is there local news covering
right.
it?
Right.
No, it has to take citizen journalists and people like, I guess, Steven Crowder, because I mean, maybe everything goes back to, you know, follow the money. But these big outlets like CNN, NBC, they're given their marching orders. And if it doesn't fit their narrative, then they're not going to be allowed to report on it.
Project Veritas has broken more news stories in the last month than the mainstream media has in the last year.
It's going to have to be so overwhelming that they can't possibly ignore it. It has to get to the point where it's embarrassing to them if they don't cover it. Right now, they're doing what they did to the laptop. They're circling the wagons. They're pretending it's not news, and they're just going to wait it out. You know, and that's I think there's a lot of people in the news media who are swallowing their ethics because they don't want to rock the boat. In D.C. with the Biden White House, because they know that there's a ton of smoke and you can see some flames licking at the windows. But everyone thinks, oh, there's no fire in there. You know,
if only they had someone in the House on the Democrat side to pull the fire alarm.
Yeah.
Good one. That's a good one.
So in related to all of this, Hunter has been subpoenaed by the House, and the other day he was there at the House of Representatives, but did not turn up. I remember when Democrats believed, and when the Biden Justice Department believed, that failing to comply with a congressional subpoena meant that they would try to put you in federal prison. You know, ask Steve Bannon about that. Yep. But for Hunter doesn't show up, and the Justice Department, are they going to care? Probably not. But here's Hunter outside. He did have time to talk to reporters, and here's a little clip of this, and there's something that's very important in here, and I bet you guys can pick it up.
Let me state as clearly as I can, my father was not financially involved in my business, not as a practicing lawyer, not as a board member of Burisma, not in my partnership with a Chinese private businessman, not in my investments at home nor abroad, and certainly not as an artist.
Okay. Notice anything there? Anything key?
Yeah. Financial.
Yep. He said, my father was not financially involved. That is a shifting of the goalposts.
So first,
see that I picked up.
Go ahead, Sunny.
I was just going to say, to me, what I picked up was he is already making a move to cover for his dad.
Yes.
He's already stepping out there and saying, let me go ahead and protect him. He wasn't financially involved, because who knows what they're about to discover. But to me, that was him going ahead and setting it up to protect his dad.
So people out there may not know this, but the way it works is you go and testify in closed door hearings in front of Congress where they depose you there. So it's not a show trial or anything. So they find out information. Then later they bring you out publicly. What Hunter Biden said was, no, I'm not doing it privately. I'll do it. Which I think was a bluff, to say the least.
Yeah,
I want it done the way I want it done, all public, nothing private on the front end, even though Don Jr. had to testify for hours. Ivanka, same thing. Jared, all behind closed doors first. Okay. The mere fact that Hunter Biden thinks he can avoid, change, ignore the rules of the House and get special treatment and just do everything publicly the way he wants, not only shows a disregard for the rules, it also shows a pattern in his life that the rules don't apply to him. They never have. The law doesn't apply to him. Daddy's covered everything up. Daddy's buddies have helped me avoid jail. Daddy's buddies have helped me avoid paying taxes. So it shouldn't be shocking to anyone that Hunter Biden decides, hey, I don't like the rules of the House. I'll do it this way. And this is the way I'm going to do it because I'm Hunter Biden and nothing really applies to me that I don't want to apply to me. That on its face kind of is so offensive to me when I hear him say things, when I hear him do his little stunt out there. It just is insane. Again, I don't know why people are making this correlation, but whatever. It's a Biden family. What do you expect?
When he says my dad was not financially involved, what is that? First of all, they lied. That's a shifting. The initial lie was he never discussed it, never had anything to do with it, you know, 100 yards away the whole time. Now he's saying he's not financially involved. But what does that mean? Does that mean he's trying to be careful? He's not financially involved. Did Joe Biden's name appear on any of the paperwork? No, of course not. They're not quite that stupid. Of course, they make efforts to keep Joe Biden's name away from any official documents there that they can say, oh, look, he's not financially involved. He's not on the incorporation papers. Well, so what? You guys commingled your finances. Did he ever receive any financial benefit whatsoever? And as Jonathan Turley points out, if his family received it, then he did too. Then it's a benefit to him. So yes, he was financially involved. Sonny, let me ask you this. If you have a child now. If someone gives your child a whole bunch of money to put in the bank account for, I don't know what, college, the future life, whatever, is that a financial benefit to you, the mother, or not? Now you don't have to worry about that.
Yes, now that I don't have to pay for college, yes, that would be a huge benefit to me.
See, there
First
you
of all,
go.
I think that's not right, Tim. Sonny's kid is going to be so brilliant, like his mom, that it will get scholarships up one side and down the other, never have to worry about college anyway.
I would love that. Or an athletic scholarship.
Or athletics.
Maybe he'll be just a baller. I mean, I was a cheerleader, so.
Her brother was a Division I athlete.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. So that's your right. Husband. Me too.
So.
Your husband was a Division I athlete?
Yes, what did he do? Played lacrosse.
Yeah, where?
Ah, see?
UMass.
This kid's going to be a powerhouse.
I hope so. Did not know he went to UMass.
Yep.
Yikes. When I was in school, I did not have high opinions of UMass. It was John Calipari's fault. Their basketball coach, their UMass's basketball coach was a guy that I did not like. I did not admire and still don't admire John
Calipari. Who was that player they had that was so good they paid?
Marcus Camby,
yes. Yep. Good pull, Sam.
Yeah, well, Joe, now I'm going to say this real quick to get it over with. John Calipari took UMass to the Final Four, got them in trouble, financial scandal, players getting paid. The Final Four appearance was vacated. If you look at the Final Four that year, there's only three teams in it. UMass is not listed because John Calipari caused it. And then he goes to the University of Memphis. Guess what? They make the Final Four. Guess what? Their Final Four appearance got vacated too. Because why? Oh, financial cheating going on to the university. What's the common factor? It's John Calipari.
Well, I bet Joe Biden was involved.
The common factor is getting caught. The other player, other coaches were doing it too.
True. Fair enough. So another thing that I want to talk about as it relates to Hunter is he, in that answer that we just heard, he goes on to talk about how his parents stood by him throughout all of his travails for being an addict and all the different things that go through that. As I've said on this show before, when we talk about Hunter and through the campaign in 2020 and everything that I do about Hunter, I'm very careful never to attack him for being an addict and for his addiction and things like that. I keep it focused on the financial stuff and how does it involve his father? That's it. Because I myself, and I've always previously said, you know, I have been touched by addiction. And that's the way that I've described it. But in fact, it was me I was talking about. I for decades had a drinking problem. While I was working in politics, I took my last drink on May 16th, 2015. So about 8.5 years ago. And thank you.
Very good.
Not looking for applause, but I good. Am there. I think I managed to do it. I'm publishing a book by through Post Hill Press. It's called Swing Hard In Case You Hit It. My Escape from Addiction and Shot at Redemption on the Trump Campaign. And it's half about stories from the 2020 campaign. You're aware of some of these things that happened in this book, Hogan and Sonny, and some of the things you might not know from 2020. And the other half is how I got through and how did all the different horrible things that I did and experienced and some pretty bad stories that I tell about myself and how I went to jail twice for DUIs. A variety of different arrests for, you know, public intoxication, that kind of stuff. And I got cleaned up because I was facing a much, much, much longer jail sentence and it would have ruined everything. And I had to quit drinking. And that's what I did in 2015. And then I have been able to flourish. President Trump knew about it, hired me anyway. And, you know, because he likes a good redemption story. And for that, I'm very appreciative. But Amazon.com, you can find this book. You can search for my name or the title, Swing Hard In Case You Hit It by Tim Murtaugh. And, it's basically my story. And I did it to help people who were like me in rehab, who might be helped by reading a book like this. And also because there were opposition researchers out there in 2020 trying to sell to reporters the story that Trump's communications director had this alcoholic past with all these arrests and everything. Thankfully, nobody wrote the story, but this takes that away from them. And there it is. It's out. It comes out on April 2nd, but you can pre-order it now on Amazon.com, and I hope you do, because unlike Sonny, my kids probably will not get athletic scholarships, and they're gonna need to go to college. And so Tim, there you go. I appreciate you guys letting me do this promotion of my book. I appreciate it.
Yes, I'm very, very, very proud of you for doing this, and I know it took a lot of courage to write all of that, you know, for the world to see. I was wondering, though, I actually thought about this the other day. When you decided to write a book, did you tell your parents? Did you say, like, hey, I'm about to write this, there's going to be some, like, secrets in here? Did you get your family's opinion on it, or did you just go for it?
I did, yeah. I talked to, well, first of all, my wife. And it was actually my wife who first suggested it back in 2019 when the when the opposition researchers were getting reporters to call saying, hey, we have this, you know, we have your dossier, your police record here, and we're thinking about writing a story. So, you know, she suggested at the time, why don't you write a book about it? And then they can't attack you anymore. And because it's a redemption story, and tell everybody what you overcame. So it was, of course, my wife had to be on board with it. And I did talk to my parents about it because my father is also an alcoholic in recovery. He quit drinking when I was a freshman in college, and I don't think he was quite as bad. But his situation, I mean, it's hard to compare. You shouldn't compare stories like that. But I, as a kid growing up, I was not really terribly aware. I knew that he drank, but I didn't know it was that bad. And I didn't notice it didn't affect my childhood or my upbringing, as far as I know. But in telling the story, I really can't tell my whole story unless I talk about and mention, at least I don't dwell on it, but I mentioned the fact that my father was also an alcoholic. And of course, I wanted to run that past him before I said that in a book about him. Sure. And I don't tell stories about other people. You know, if you read this, you'll think, man, oh man, this guy was a one man wrecking machine. There were people along there with me. I'm not going to identify them because it's not my right to do that. You know?
Yeah.
So that's a good question, Sonny. Thanks.
I have a question about the book too. And obviously I've not read it. Sonny, I know you've not read it either, but
no, it's not out.
This always interests me when I see books. So that's why I'm going to ask you this. I hope it's a deeper meaning than I think, but, you're a baseball person.
Yeah.
Love baseball. You have relatives, people, you know, played professional baseball.
Mm-hmm.
This is called the Line Drive Podcast. So obviously line drive is a baseball term. The title of this book is Swing Hard in Case You Hit It.
Yeah.
Which is something people say to baseball players sometimes. With the ups and downs you've had, we've all had, and I can't wait to see how you kind of lay this out because you are not just a wonderful spokesperson and have a way with words, but your writing, I think, has always been really tight and strong.
Thanks.
So why this title? I think that's always interesting to me when I see a book to go, what? I wonder why they wrote it this. What was the purpose of this title? So is there a meaning behind this other than just, hey, I like baseball?
There is, actually. It's, you know, some titles are self-explanatory, but this one is a little bit cryptic. This is a swing hard in case you hit it is a phrase that's been with me for as long as I can remember. And you're right. I come from a baseball family. My grandfather was Danny Murtaugh. He was the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates for a long time, won the World Series twice as a manager. And my father followed in his own father's footsteps and played minor league baseball. And then was a manager in the Pirates minor league system and made it all the way up to AAA, which is the step right below the major leagues. And you can see that the talent gets watered down by generation in my family. So I played in high school, was not good enough to play Division I baseball. And so my kids, if it keeps going on that trend, my kids have no chance at all. Right. But when I would leave the house every day, when I was a teenager going out to good baseball practice, whether it was my summer team or what, or going for the high school, practice, sometimes we had morning workouts. My dad would say, as I was leaving the house, he would say, hey, swing hard in case you hit it, which, you know, he's just joking. He was saying it to be funny. But if you think about it, I always viewed that as a pretty good philosophy for life and in everything that you do. Because if there's something that you're going to engage in, any kind of activity that you're going to engage in, you might as well put in as much effort as you can in case it works out, right? Swing hard in case you hit it. So it's, you know, it's kind of the way that I like to approach everything. And for this, when it's a story about my career and my 20 years of trying to quit drinking, swing hard in case you hit it. It's something that my dad said to me a lot of times, and it has stuck with me, and I felt like it fit.
That's great.
Sweet.
Well, yeah. Congratulations.
I have one more thing.
Thank you.
Yes. I have one more point to make about your book. When we were talking about your book the other day, this Bible verse came into my head and I meant to tell you about it. And then I just realized I have it here.
You have a big one.
It says, what's it say? You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. And
how about
that's
that?
Just like a story. It's a redemption story.
How about that? You it's know? Relevant.
Yep.
I know. That's fantastic.
I had to bring it up.
Well,
Genesis 50:20.
Amen.
Yeah. Tell me that again. Genesis 50:20.
Yep.
I'm writing that.
That's actually like my life verse. So maybe I'll write a book about that too.
It's a great point.
That's really good. Well, guys, I don't think we got to everything that we could have possibly gotten to, but we covered a lot of ground. And
Hunter Biden and Tim Murtaugh, two very good topics.
Yeah, and I said, look, I'm never gonna. You'll never hear me attack Hunter for being an addict, and because I know what he went through, and I know what he's going through now. I know, just because I wrote this book doesn't mean I'm cured. No alcoholic is ever cured. No addict is ever cured. I'm one drink away from everything spiraling out of control again. You know,
yeah.
I woke up in jail one morning. I was on probation for my second DUI. And if I got convicted of another alcohol related offense, I was going to go to jail for almost 3 months because I had a suspended sentence hanging over my head for my second DUI. And I got arrested for public intoxication while I was on probation. If I had gotten convicted of that, I would have gone to jail for 3 months and I would have lost everything, career, not just my job, but my career and my wife, my friends and family were kind of fed up with me. And so, you know, I paid consequences. And so I've never attacked Hunter for his addiction. It's the behavior, the financial behavior that incorporates and involves his father and implicates his father. That's fair game. Not the same. I sympathize with him as an addict. The rest of the stuff, not so much. You know,
companies, not so much.
Not so much. So anyway, I know you all have things that you got to get to, and so am I. I appreciate you stopping by and taking the time and for indulging me with all that stuff. Sonny Joy Nelson, thank you for your time. Hogan Gidley, thank you. I'm Tim Murtaugh, and this has been the Lie and Drive Podcast.